Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and each week we celebrate and commiserate with best-selling authors, parenting experts, and moms around the world. Okay, everybody, so I thought that today I would share sort of a second trimester update with my lovely husband, Adam Stekiel.
Hi.
We both have the croup.
Yeah, we do. We both have a cough.
That will never go away. And I just brought Sabrina into the garage. We're finally back in here. And to be able to record, there was a leak, blah, blah, blah. Sabrina just came in and I tried to interview her. And she said poo-poo butt about 1,000 times.
She's really into that one. That's her go-to joke.
I love you in my heart, Mama.
I love you in my heart too, Sabrina. That makes me feel so good.
Do you hear me in this?
Yeah, I can hear you in that. I have a question for you.
I don't hear myself.
You want to do headphones? Okay, we'll get you special headphones next time. I have a question. Are you going to be a big sister?
Yes, poo-poo butt sister.
Oh. Are you excited about having a little sibling?
Little sister.
Yes, everybody. We are having a girl.
Having a poo-poo butt sister.
Okay, Sabrina. Okay. So to kick this off, Adam just ran home from work for me. You were supposed to come home from a couple hours ago, but you've been stuck in a rewrite.
Yeah, not stuck. I enjoy it.
Yeah, sure. Our sitter is leaving in 40 minutes, so this will be a good quick one. I asked on Facebook on the Atomic Moms page for some questions that I could throw out to Adam. Don't get nervous.
I don't get nervous.
The first one will come from Amy, and it's, how did becoming parents change your marriage? What do you think, babe?
How did becoming parents change our marriage? That's interesting. It's so long ago.
That we got married?
No, it's weird because we were married for a long time before we had Sabrina, right. But I almost can't remember not having Sabrina. I mean, I think we definitely go out less, obviously, but I think that's also a byproduct of living. We don't have any extended family near us, and so we don't get to travel by ourselves at all anymore.
That's probably the big difference, right?
Yeah.
Like I can sneak you away from a movie. We just saw Get Out.
It's amazing.
So amazing. You must see Get Out. So we'll see movies, we'll get dinner, but we don't ever travel alone.
No.
Which I miss.
I know you miss it. I mean, I don't miss
it as
much.
I keep talking about the baby moon for our second child, coming this July, and you keep resisting.
Well, that's because we're, work, there's a lot of work stuff going on.
And because Adam doesn't like being away from Sabrina.
It's not that I don't like being away from Sabrina. I like a break, but I do get a little bit of parent anxiety when she's sleeping in a different location, or which is silly because it's probably the safest time of all for her is when she's asleep. But I get a little parent anxiety being away from her overnight.
I like this new word, parent anxiety.
Were you making one word out of it?
You were.
No, parent anxiety.
Say it as two words.
Parent anxiety.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
It sounded like one word.
Parent
like French,
anxiety.
Like
parent anxiety.
All right.
But on the plus side, I think that we're better cooks. We're better domestically, I think, than we used to be. Weirdly, I think we keep our house more organized.
Yes, that's true. Don't worry, everyone. I'm still terrible at cooking.
And we're still very disorganized.
Even try. But no. Mama got a label maker.
Yeah.
In my nesting craze, I got a label. What? You just.
Because I always see Sabrina playing with it. I thought it was her toy for the first week.
Sabrina acts like it's her computer, and then she messed up the tape strip, and now she's not allowed to touch.
One of the things. Mama's label maker.
Mama doesn't share the label maker. Mama puts it away before there's playtime because mama doesn't share her label maker. Yeah. And by the way, since I've been labeling things, I'm much more likely to put things back where they belong.
That's true. You went to the container store.
Oh, I went to the container store three times. You guys, you know when I had that week off because I was going to be nesting? Well, I got horribly ill. But I also nested, and I thought of you guys every time I walked through the container store, which was three times in like 72 hours.
Yeah. I went once for 10 minutes and almost lost my mind.
Yeah, you stood by the door.
I got my containers and got out. It's a weird, weird store. It's a very weird store. And I feel it's in some way a metaphor. I just couldn't figure it out. And it's just
a metaphor for what? Let's go there.
I don't know.
I know you're tired, writer dad.
It's like it's plastic containers and pop music blasting. It just felt, it feels so weird. And I don't know. I can't explain it. I just felt like let's get rid of stuff rather than putting it in containers. But
we have been getting rid of so much stuff.
I agree. We have. So I can't.
Sabrina keeps things. Adam, you need to turn off your phone. This is a very important podcast. Can you please put it on airplane mode?
It is on airplane mode.
So I would say for as much junk as Sabrina collects, we purge.
We do. And by the way, the containers was part of the purge. And
so everybody in this weird nesting craze, we have to figure out how to make room for the baby, right? So we moved into the guest room because it has two small closets instead of one small closet. Because all my stuff has been in the guest room.
It literally is like one and a half closets.
Yeah.
That we have managed to put all of both of our clothes into, and shoes and jackets. That's why I needed the containers because, yeah, guys, I own two pairs of cowboy boots. I know you wouldn't think that about me, but I do. But they can't fit in our new closet, but I can't get rid of them because they're cowboy boots. So I had to buy a container for my cowboy boots there.
That you put under the house?
That I put under the house. That's probably the most embarrassing thing I'll ever share.
It's kind of weird.
It is weird. Ellie just is derailed mentally. She's like, I don't even know you anymore.
Well, I'm also kind of like, am I selfish? Because my cowboy boots are still in the closet.
Well, but I feel like we both had to choose the footwear. I really thinned out my footwear. This is so, I feel like I'm oversharing and also boring people at the same time.
I don't know. The Marie Kondo book was like an international bestseller. So I would say that people are interested in organizational
skills. I do think if
skills.
We had more time to really get into our organization, it would be more interesting. I just think when
we'll
I try to do
stop undercutting it.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to say. Get pregnant. Get like 4 months pregnant. And then you will have a way easier time just throwing away everything. Because you're like, doesn't fit. Toss. Doesn't fit, toss. I mean, and by toss, I mean toss into the giveaway bag, whatever. But.
And if you're
but
if you're
guys,
the,
if, let's say 4 months after the next baby's born, I'm probably going to have a panic attack. I mean, I have no clothes except for leggings and hoodie sweatshirts that I can't even zip up.
And if you're me, you realize you're the least important person here now, and you get the least amount of space, and you really embrace that. And I'm
but luckily
really
you've always been resistant about clothes anyway.
It's true, and I've really thinned the herd down to like.
And you're a writer, thank God.
I know. If I had a real job, this would never work.
No.
If I'd have a bunch, I don't even know how many suits
or any
person
pride.
Has.
Yeah,
I have a lot of pride. You know that in the way that I look.
What do
no,
you
no one has more pride in the way that I look than I do,
except for what you put on your body.
Well, because I think my body does most of the work.
Okay, speaking of that, we got another question on the Facebook page, which was, how does one, you can guess who this question is from, by the way. How does one make time to maintain one's physique, bod, abs, et cetera, while working a demanding job with random hours and being a father and generous husband? It is true, by the way. You are a very generous husband.
Is that from John DeWalt?
It is.
Is it really? No. I can just tell. Everybody should find John DeWalt on Instagram or Twitter for a good laugh. He's very funny.
His wife's funnier.
Allison is funnier. That's true.
I just like saying that.
No, you're right. It's true. But John's funny. He's funny as the second funniest person in his marriage. He's super
kind
funny.
Of, yeah. You guys can relate.
That's a great question. We can move on. Thank you, John. Yeah.
Okay. So then Amy had another question, though. She did all my homework for me. I'm so grateful, Amy. What is your favorite thing about LA? And then she put in parentheses, because I got to go find this woman. There are so many good things.
There are so many good things, and there are many great things.
What is your favorite thing about LA?
My favorite thing about LA is that she does not apologize for who she is. As you know, she doesn't.
I save that for the therapist.
Huh? What do you mean? Oh, the apologies. Yeah. No, but
I'll
I mean,
be like, oh my God, why am I getting in that?
You I don't want to say you don't cook, because I feel like you have tried to start doing that lately, but you also don't care that you don't cook. You've never, you know, felt bad about not cooking, all that stuff. You know what you want and you demand it.
yeah.
even when sometimes I can turn around and be like, but you did this other thing that completely contradicts that. And you're like, I don't care. That's not what this is about. I want this thing now. And I just think that's to me, it shows you how comfortable we are in our relationship that,
So give me an example of when I've changed my mind on something.
You don't change your mind on things. You'll be like, you need to take better care of this thing. And I'll be like, your shit is splayed out all over our bedroom with no regard for it whatsoever. I found your headphones in the sink and, you know, the dog hasn't been out in 14 hours. And you're like, well, we're not talking about those things right
now.
I'd
be like, well, I was editing the podcast.
Right, exactly. So... but I like that. I like that it's always very clear where you stand.
That is true. Our contractor right now, who's been working on the backyard for 3 months.
He's a great person.
He's a great person. He'd probably also
agree that
you know where I stand.
Yeah. and I like that. I don't do well.
That's true.
People do. Passive aggression. And you're not that.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I agree. I think I'm very eager to be liked, and I love being a cheerleader for other people. But
your hardest on the people that you love the most.
Okay, that's not where I was going with this. then that must mean I love myself the most, which I
that's
should.
True. See,
but I am hardest on myself.
I feel like we're really figuring things out here.
But I. So I'm people's cheerleader. I want to be liked. But then like if something like rubs me the wrong way, yeah. I cannot hide it.
No poker face.
There's no poker face. I'm not like mean. I just can't be fake friends.
Terrible
I cannot.
Liar.
I'm a bad fake friend.
Yeah, you're a bad fake friend.
And clearly I'm not so bad at patting myself on the back anymore, which by the way, this podcast has helped with.
Yeah.
Getting a little better at being like, oh, this is what I'm good at. This is what I like. This is who I am.
But yeah, a million things. I mean, you know, also hilarious and fun to be around and a great mom and the best friend and all the things that you want in your partner, you know, but very difficult.
I was waiting for the shoe to drop.
A manic pixie pain in my ass. That's what you are.
Thanks, sweetheart. yeah. Well, the mania is finally coming back and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah. You were slow for the first 3 months. Of that.
Yeah. So touching back into this whole second trimester update, mom has finally got her groove back a little
bit. Which is good because here's what I'll say. This is my one.
I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, I have no drive.
And like really.
And yes, we're recording this podcast Friday before the Tuesday episode. So I'm still kind of not totally together. Although I've got some really amazing upcoming episodes. I promise everybody. Also, if you listen to the Selena episode last week, it was amazing. I've got some incredible ones coming up in the pipeline. And some weeks I just need to bother my husband.
Yeah,
or my friends.
But I will say, here's what I'll say about those first 3 months. It was interesting because I kept wondering, like, why does it seem like this time is so much harder than last time? And I realized, oh, because I may be repeating myself. We might have talked about this last time. But you're like, this time going through pregnancy, we already have a human in the house that we're responsible for. We're not just two grown people that can kind of like cruise through it and soak it up and just be chill. And the other thing I realized, and it's why I'm glad you're getting your groove back, like, being pregnant and feeling nauseous and sick all the time made it difficult for you to like parent her 24 hours a day. And I was like, oh my God, if you don't get your groove back, you're going to like when we have the second kid, it's going to just hit you like a punch in the face. Cause like right now it's like, okay, Ellie doesn't feel well or
tired.
I would
just go to bed at 8 o'clock.
And then I can handle Sabrina. But when the second kid comes, it's like everyone's on duty 24 hours a day.
Right.
And I was really afraid. I was like, this is going to just be such a hammer to your face when like you never get your groove back.
Really? You were concerned about me?
I was.
You were concerned that you were going to be a dad to two kids by yourself.
I was like, it'll be easy for me because I will already be in the rhythm.
Yeah, because of John DeWalt's
Yeah, he knows
question.
What it's like to be a fantastic father. He looks at me and realizes that that's the path. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it was genuinely like, I'm getting my muscles and I'm getting my reps in right now because I'm covering for someone who's quite frankly ill every day.
I didn't care about anything.
Yeah. That's not true. That's harsh.
No, I didn't care about anything.
You did. You cared. I mean, yeah, you absolutely cared about that. That makes it sound like you were in some weird nihilist funk.
I was.
You were very sick.
I was very sick and I was in a nihilist funk.
Okay. Well.
And I actually just heard a great Terry Gross interview about a poet who is manic depressive, Robert Lowell, probably making that up. And
it's a great name, though.
It would be. And he had some amazing quote about that depression is like having dust in the blood.
Mm.
And it felt like dust in my blood. I just didn't, like, I could not.
In my blood.
What?
I got diamonds in my blood. I got just energy ready
didn't,
to go.
Yeah, you seem like you have some Red Bull in your blood right now. it was hard. And then when I was able to flip that switch just hormonally, I was so grateful because I was nervous. I was like, where am I? Like, because I'm such a go-getter. And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I changed it all. The day that I hired two guys to come switch our bedrooms out.
Yes. Let's get back to that.
Adam
I feel
was
like
working.
We pivoted from that. And that was sort of the big shift Sabrina now lives in our old room. We live in the guest room. We moved all the furniture, but we live in what was our little sort of guest room office. And then the Sabrina's
baby,
her baby,
by the way,
the baby room.
We're having a girl.
Girl. I am ecstatic because I have three sisters. I have a daughter. I have no experience with boys. So I was very happy.
Except your own father.
My dad. But I mean, like, either my age, no kids, you know, like children.
Right. But even with your dad, there was like a power struggle. So I feel like, well, you always talk about that.
My father's a very firm man, and I, you know, I don't do great with authority, as you know, every time you try to tell me how to drive.
Or anything.
Right. So yeah, there was of course that, but other than that.
What did you get upset recently about?
I didn't get upset. We had a real honest, great moment where you were like pointed something out while I was driving.
Oh my gosh.
And I went hackles up and we agreed like, hey. You're allowed to side seat drive, and I'm allowed to
point out pedestrians you're about to hit when you're turning left.
And I can be annoyed by that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So you're excited because you still get to be king of the hill. You get to have another child who prefers you
and loves you unconditionally. I'm just mostly happy that I know that I get two daddy's little girls.
You know, if I have a third one, I think we're going to spin the sperm.
and just send one guy in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one. But I'm very excited about having a second daughter. I don't think there could be a more meaningful time to raise a daughter.
And sisters, man. Who doesn't love sisters?
Except I did cry about the sisters thing because, because I was in a negative place. I had dust in my blood.
Right,
and I was
dust in your blood.
I wasn't thinking of like your three sisters who are so obsessed with each other.
Don't like each other.
But I definitely.
Not my sisters, but.
No, just sisters in my family.
No, my sisters are super tight.
I mean, I love my little sister, but she's 14 years younger than me. So it feels like a totally different relationship.
Yeah, but you guys are very close.
We're very close. No, I was more thinking about a lot of people I know in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
Especially modeled in my family,
relatives.
Where the sisters don't talk to each other. So yeah. I was like, oh, God, sisters. Yeah. And then I was thinking Anna and Elsa.
But they worked through it.
Yeah.
And also Sabrina can't shoot ice out of her hands, so.
And I'm not going on a boat anytime soon, so we'll be there to guide them.
Oh, right, yeah, that too. Spoilers.
But very, very, very excited. And I feel connected to her. She's a banana. I just looked it up. She's a banana.
That's weird. I thought she was a person.
She's the size of a banana.
Oh, I see.
Rubbing my belly a lot. I've only felt a couple kicks, but we get to see the cool facial, you know, weird 3D thing next week. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. I did have a girlfriend who is due in a few weeks, and she was asking me about connecting with the baby inside of her. She was like, do you talk to the baby in your belly? And I was like, no. I was like, but Sabrina does.
Sabrina talks to her not. I mean, we would talk to the baby in the belly if Sabrina ever stopped talking to the baby in the belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes she'll just go poo-poo butt.
Yeah. But she's a big sister.
Stop,
she called. No,
way.
But listen,
we
that's
stop
her job.
The poo-poo butt.
She's already picking on her little sister.
It's true.
Yeah.
But we were playing with her girlfriend, Ellery, her mother, Sarah's my friend. And Sabrina kept saying poo-poo butt, and Ellery, this also happened this afternoon right after I recorded, and Sarah goes, that's bathroom language. And Ellery shut right up. And I was like, ooh, that's good.
So we'll use.
But Sarah's always been good at that. Like,
use that word. But also, we just have a, she's just a, she's just a.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She, we were calling her Melissa McCarthy when she was a year old.
But she's also just like one of those kids that's like, if she knows it's wrong, she wants to do it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you try to kind of not make it a thing. That's what also happened with when she briefly flirted with the F word, which was terrifying when you're
or
two when, and a half year old does that. And you realize that most kids don't do that until they're six.
When she shakes her butt.
Yeah, she shakes her booty. And says, look at my booty.
Say, like,
here's what I'll say about our daughter. It's like if you, she can somehow tell like what would be like, just like risky behavior or somewhat delinquent in any way. And she taps into it. Like my parents were here last weekend and, you know, my mom told her 100 stories, but the one story.
And every time I was like, oh my God, please. And I was really quiet about it, but I didn't want your mom to tell any stories because I knew Sabrina would somehow use it against me.
She only, she'll only remember the story that, yeah, that she can use to some weird, like, so the story she remembered was that like my mom told some story about when I was like a kid. Occasionally my mom would let me stay home from school to watch basketball. And literally every day since then, Sabrina asks if she can stay home from school to watch basketball. There's no other story she remembered except the one that involves not going to school.
But it had to do when you, it was like high school.
Yeah, I was, of course.
And it was like a special occasion. But
three.
Now Sabrina is three. I'm driving her home from preschool the first day back from this trip. And she's like, I want to play hooky. My grades are good. Can't I stay home? I'm like, no. And also, you got to talk to Bubby and Adam about that. And she goes, no, I want to talk to you about it. I don't want to go to school. Yeah.
So that's the, she just fixates on the things that, I don't even know what you would call it. It's just like.
No, she's brilliant. She's a mastermind.
Yeah, brilliant's not the right word. It is, it's like devious villain behavior.
Oh, she loves villains. Do you like?
I like,
do you like watching basketball with him?
I like watching Shimmer and Shine.
Oh, you like watching Shimmer and Shine. What do you like about Shimmer and Shine?
About Zeta and Nazbu. They are the two twins that are bad guys. But I like the bad guys.
You like the bad guys?
I like Ursula and
She loves Dark.
But by the way, I should also give the update that she has been so loving towards me.
Yeah.
This baby is the best thing that ever happened to me. She's because Sabrina is like all over me now.
She does. Well, she thinks it's her baby.
And no, but she gives me 20 hugs before she goes to school. She wants me to drive her to school. Like you're feeling a little displacement there.
No. Once we're in the car, she's happy it's me. She's just trying to not get, she thinks if she makes a switch, she can like somehow not go to school.
I think it's because she wants another hug from mommy.
I think so too.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah.
Here is another question from, an Atomic Moms guest from our 100th episode, Elizabeth Hill. How will your role as a father be different or the same compared to how you were raised?
How will my role as a father be different or the same way I was? Well, I think I have the privilege of being home more often. My dad was an attorney or is an attorney, and so he had a more traditional more traditional work hours. But I mean, you know, my dad drove me to school every day and, you know, I pretty much remember him being home every evening. So it never felt like he wasn't present. I think I have a little bit more, I'm lucky enough to be home during the day a little bit more, which is nice. But on the other side, like for instance, when we had Sabrina, I had a television show that I was doing, which actually meant that I was home way less. I would like literally leave at 9 a.m. Then I'd get home at 2 a.m. and I would do a midnight feeding and then go to bed. And that was obviously harder on Ellie than Sabrina, who, you know, didn't even know who I was yet. But I think that is a difference as I, you know, and that's how my dad is a guy who, you know, would very, very, very good at his job, but would rather be with his family than at work any moment of any day. And I think that's something that I've carried with me. And you know, so I've tried to, you know, use that part of my job to be around my family a little bit more, which I like. I think it's why I like taking Sabrina to school. That was something that my dad did that I thought was good. And then different, I don't know. It's funny. It's like you don't want to turn into your parents and then you kind of turn into your parents. Like my dad was like, not like a hard ass, but like, you know, he would raise his voice and he was very, he's like an intimidating dude. His name is Vito. He's got a mustache and a bunch of chipped teeth.
Plays hockey.
He played hockey. And it was just his vibe and, you know, kind of a shorter fuse in his younger age. And it's just like, I'm the same person, you know, like I have a very low tolerance for whining, you know, not, I don't like get angry about it. I just don't.
And how do I react in those situations?
You're the chill one in those situations. You mellow it out. And it's, I mean, you and I are great because I feel like we always just fill the gap. Like one of us is at the end of our rope and the other one comes in and is like, don't worry, I got more rope.
No, that's so true. Because you'll raise your voice.
Yeah.
And I'll step in.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it.
No. No, I mean, like, and again, like, it's nothing.
No,
storming around like an intimidator. It's just like, it's hilarious. It's like, you're like arguing with a 3-year-old where I'll be like, Sabrina, we need to go right now. And she's like, well, here are your options. And I'll be like, no. I'm telling you your options. And she's like, I have the options. And then finally, thankfully, Ellie will come in and go, hey, why don't we? And, you know, she'll get her, you know, like, again, an outsider is like, hey, you're going to lose the argument to the 3-year-old every time because they're not really arguing. They're just saying the opposite of what you say. But I don't think I will be a better parent than either of my parents. And that's, I think they were truly the best parents. But I will also say that's not me being like, I have the greatest parents and I'll never do it. I'm saying like, I think they are genetically wired to be the best parents. And my dad specifically, he literally has like, a child's focus in things. So like, whereas like, I know I'm not alone that everyone listening to this will agree with me. It's like your kid starts an activity and within like 10 minutes, you're like, this is so boring. Let's switch activities or do something else. My dad, like he does this today with my nephew who's 9, like they'll start building a Lego. My dad could sit there for 14 hours and build a Lego. It's just like, and that's with anything. He just like loves a deep immersion activity in the way that a kid does. And I think like, it's why Sabrina loves to hang out with him. And also my parents like, and you know, they were obviously more parenty when I was a kid, but now it's just like, they're just there to keep the party moving.
Oh my God. Also when we were just in Palm Springs with them, like immediately, like right off the plane, it's like, we've got presents for her. Yeah. They hid the candy and then they were like smuggling the candy to her because they knew I would be annoyed because it's like right before bedtime and there's just no
the party keeps rolling. I'm a lazier person than my father. I think that's what it comes down to, and Ellie will attest to that because it's like when my dad comes out here, like, you know, the backyard gets landscaped, like the patio gets laid. It's just like
so much stuff gets done.
He can't stop moving.
You do
ever.
Not like doing physical.
I do like doing physical things. I just don't like.
You always end up cursing. That's why I hired those two guys to move our rooms.
Nah, that's not true. I just like doing the parts that I want to do. That's the problem with it.
Anytime a hammer comes out, there's always
that's
cursing.
That's not true.
It's so true.
No, that's not true. I put on that bike seat without any trouble.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe not the bike seat, but I know I've done things.
There's a bike seat still in the back of my car if you want to take
it out.
I'll
take that out, yeah.
Here's a question. What ways is Sabrina different from Ellie and what ways is she similar?
She looks like Ellie.
She looks just like my mom.
Yeah. She's just funny. I mean, she's a know-it-all like Ellie. Like that's definitely, and she's sort of like a, she's like a, I'm in charge of the situation, even if I don't really understand it person like Ellie. Yeah. Loves to kind of tell people what to do. Even if there is no sort of like end game in play, it's just like that kind of vibe, you know, like that's, I think you guys are both that sort of like to take charge. Yeah. Controlling is the word I was trying to find, but it's funny because she is very unlike both of us. Like this is the weirdest thing to say about my 3-year-old. Like she's a thread man. She loves clothes. Like she loves dresses. Like she's a real girly girl.
Every day now she tries on about 4 different dresses before she picks out what she wants.
Like it loves to like coordinate tights. The bow with the dress. And that's just like, that is definitely not me or you. That's like, no. Really not. And neither of us.
Hey, we share a very small closet together.
Yeah, we do. And that's a really funny thing for me to watch.
And she's very particular, and she always wants like very creative pattern and print combos.
But you, but then there's weird things that you're like, oh, I guess some of this is like she's weirdly a very good, and this is another weird thing to say, she's like a very good dancer. Like she just has, she seems to like really naturally take to ballet, which is very odd to see. And I personally don't love, because I think there's a lot of.
So Adam and I's big fight is about hockey versus dance,
which I think they go together really great. I think there'd be nothing better than a female hockey player that has a dance background.
He
personally
gave her a little hockey stick when she was like 2 years old.
And she was great with it. She was already showcasing.
Yeah, she kept hitting us with it.
Yeah, she broke a window with it.
She did break a window with it.
But also
she
broke showcasing her playroom great stick handling skills.
Yeah, and I was like, why do you have this?
Yeah,
like,
and then
why
I
would you give
ice
that
skates,
to
me? Pink ones, which she loved. But yeah, it's cool because Ellie was a dancer, and it's just neat. And it's like, it's not something that Ellie's been like, you're going to learn how to dance. It's just something that she sort of naturally took to. And
that was kind of cool. Like she loved, like, you put on music, she's just dancing all the time.
Dancing.
She's like making up songs.
That's how she's exactly like Ellie. She's like constantly making up songs and dancing.
And has my voice.
And definitely. And does she? Yes, her voice sounds just like you. It's hilarious.
Every trail I track, every path I make, every soul I make is a tale I know where it can afford. What belongs to me, what lies and see it cause me. How far I go, how far I go.
Wow. Thank you, Sabrina. You know that line about being the perfect daughter?
What?
You know that you're already the perfect daughter, right? No matter what? Don't break my mic, please.
Sorry.
But the differences to me are the funniest things, because that's when you're just like, who is,
well,
like,
to go back earlier in the conversation, that she really revels in her mischievousness.
Yeah, she really does. And she'll, it's like the other thing too is like,
except with teachers.
Yeah, she loves to listen to her
teachers.
She's
like, she's total class president.
I don't know. We'll find out, you know, maybe.
No, but she always wants to sit in their laps. She's always, but that's when the like telling other kids what to do comes into play.
But she's really into like, she's like, I want to see a scary movie. I want to watch something. Like, it's like.
Oh, she loves scary movies.
Yeah. It's not
obviously, we don't let her watch scary movies. We were, what was it, a basketball game?
We were watching like the news or something. And the Resident Evil trailer came on. And it was like a really dark, scary trailer, and I tried to like turn around and be like, hey, you shouldn't watch this, and she literally fought me.
I told you to cover her eyes
over me so that she could watch, like, with glee in her face, like, I want to watch this. And
she said, like, I like vampires or I like zombies.
Yeah, she's really, and again, not in like a like, there's a genuine weird joy she gets out of things that are a little
scary,
would be considered scary.
She likes to pretend that wolves are coming to attack her.
Yeah, she's very into like rescue fantasy and stuff like that. Everyone's like, it's all about saving the day. I got to save people. Like, I'm going to save everybody.
It's so funny.
She has a hero complex, which is also not, I feel, that's kind of like you, I guess.
I was going to say like you.
Maybe. I feel like I do it begrudgingly.
Hero complex. You like to be the hero.
I like to pretend like I don't, but then I do.
Yeah. But it's funny because she doesn't have any real conflict in her life. And that's like, she's so safe.
It is, but I think
and she's around, like, everyone she's around is nice, so kind to her.
But I think it's the book she reads. Like, a lot, I've noticed, like, a lot of these books, like, I think it's just an easy well to go to for, and this is writer, dumb writer stuff, but like, it's such a simple story to tell that someone is in danger and has to be rescued. And I think so many of those books like go back to that well for a simple story. And so like a lot of what she's consuming is, I mean, like that, I read her that the, whatever that monster truck book is or whatever, like the whole story is like these five trucks all are in danger and then the other truck has to rescue them all. It's the entire story. And
but it's also like every dumb movie ever.
That's a great movie. Yeah, okay.
I hate any movie that's
right,
like
well,
that.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty powerful
thing. I like people
thing, but
sitting around a table talking, like a podcast.
Yeah, you do like small movies that where I don't even know what's happening in them and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you could never follow Mad Men. It was so frustrating.
I love Mad Men, but there would be like someone would look at someone and you'd be like, and be like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you don't get the undercurrents.
No, I don't get the undercurrents. Okay, next question.
Next question is from our friend Jessica.
Okay.
What is something about being a dad or even just being a man that you think most women don't know about? Like, I just learned that bars put ice in the urinals and my mind was blown.
Oh, that's so funny.
What other secrets are you keeping from us?
I feel like there's all you could, I feel like you could write a whole book on how men's bathrooms are way weirder than women's, but I don't know what women's bathrooms are like, but like just the fact that like at sporting events, at some sporting places, there aren't even separate urinals, just a big trough.
No.
Yeah. That like, and you just sort of,
so foul.
It is, it's really foul. Or like there's a bar in Ann Arbor where there are literally toilets like that you would, you know, use for the other stuff, but there's
other stuff.
They're just there. They're like, there's nothing partitioning them or they're just sitting out in the open and someone designed that and built that. And I just think like that truly is what it comes down to is I think that, and I say this with such love for both genders that I think sometimes, you know, women don't realize like how truly more just like animalistic and base men are. And I think you can see it with kids, especially like we always say like, oh, Sabrina's such a wild kid. And then you she'll hang out with a boy her age and you're like, that kid is eating dirt.
Oh, and totally. Just like, and banging his toys until they
breaking
fall apart.
Everything. And it's just like,
she's such a girl suddenly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that there,
and I,
there
is that a big sounded difference. Sexist, but there is, there's a difference. Like she's very adventurous. And she's also,
but she's like cautious and level
with her things.
And yeah, and like, and
some of these boys are just total heathens.
They're just, or yeah, they're. I mean, even like, I mean, yeah, they're just like men and boys. We're just animals. Not all of us. I don't want to paint the brush, but I think like on
but you
the
are.
Whole,
are you an animal? Did I marry an animal?
You yes, you definitely married an animal. But you should know that by looking at my father.
Yeah,
my dad looks like it. He's definitely an animal. He's definitely half Neanderthal.
It would be so interesting to see. If we hadn't gotten married almost 10 years ago, like what you would be living in right now.
I mean, yeah, when you met me, I was like, I had sheets nailed over my windows. Like I didn't have any furniture. It's just like, we're not good at self-care, you know, like, which is also true. Like I would literally have to be like bleeding out of my skull to go to a doctor. Like, it's just like, we're bad at it, you know? My knees hurt, my shoulder hurts, my back hurts. I'm going to still go work out for an hour. Like, we're just dumb about stuff like that. And I think...
We're going to start talking about self-care, honey.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think about it all the time. Like, I should do yoga more. And then I don't. Yeah. But I've gotten away from the question. I'm trying to think of other fun things. That ice in the urinal thing is so funny. I don't know. I would love to think about that. But I bet you could do a whole coffee table book on, like, surprising things about guys.
Mm-hmm. Besides that, you get paid more.
Yeah, that's not surprising, and not. I mean, that, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that we all know that.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
yeah.
We are going to run inside to get our daughter back, and I want to encourage our listeners to find us on Facebook. Just search Atomic Moms, and there's a page there. I've been posting really fun. Blogs and articles, and it's been great chatting with you guys on there and also on Instagram. Go to atomicmoms.com to stream other episodes. Definitely subscribe on iTunes. I've got some great, great ones coming up. iTunes.com/atomicmoms. And thanks for hanging out with us for this like low-key week while we're trying to get our voices back. Honey, any last words about your excitement about baby two?
I can't wait. I'm excited for another girl and not have an animal in the house. I'm excited to see how the two of them interact. That's like what I'm most excited about. I think Sabrina's going to be really great with her in the beginning and then slowly start to torture her as she gets older.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who this little one is.
Yeah. And it's funny. I'm sure everyone goes through this when they have a second kid. You're like, your first kid has so much personality and you feel like they fill the whole void. And then you're like, no, like there's going to be another person that's going to share that space. And I'm just like really excited to see how that plays out.
Oh, I love her so much. And it's so funny to think like, she's right here with us right now.
There she is.
She's right here. Mm. All right, everybody.
All right, let's go deal with
the one first who's in one.
There. Yeah.
Brace yourself.
Yeah.
It's bedtime.
It's the uphill. It's the giant boulder you have to push uphill for the next hour. we have to push uphill for the next hour.
Bedtime's going great, everybody.
And by next hour, I mean next 3 hours.
Bedtime's going great.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, she persists.
Yeah.
Until next week, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.